بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. كل نفس ذائقة الموت وإنما توفون أجوركم يوم القيامة فمن زحزح عن النار وأدخل الجنة فقد فاز وما الحياة الدنيا إلا متاع الغرور. لتبلون في أموالكم وأنفسكم ولتسمعن من الذين أوتوا الكتاب من قبلكم ومن الذين أشركوا أذى كثيرا وإن تصبروا وتتقوا فإن ذلك من عزم الأمور. وإذ أخذ الله ميثاق الذين أوتوا الكتاب لتبيننه للناس ولا تكتمونه فنبذوه وراء ظهورهم واشتروا به ثمنا قليلا فبئس ما يشترون. لا تحسبن الذين يفرحون بما أتوا ويحبون أن يحمدوا بما لم يفعلوا فلا تحسبنهم بمفازة من العذاب ولهم عذاب أليم. ولله ملك السماوات والأرض والله على كل شيء قدير. إن في خلق السماوات والأرض واختلاف الليل والنهار لآيات لأولي الألباب الذين يذكرون الله قياما وقعودا وعلى جنوبهم ويتفكرون في خلق السماوات والأرض ربنا ما خلقت هذا باطلا سبحانك فقنا عذاب النار. ربنا إنك من تدخل النار فقد أخزيته وما للظالمين من أنصار. ربنا إننا سمعنا مناديا ينادي للإيمان أن آمنوا بربكم فآمنا ربنا فاغفر لنا ذنوبنا وكفر عنا سيئاتنا وتوفنا مع الأبرار. ربنا وآتنا ما وعدتنا على رسلك ولا تخزنا يوم القيامة إنك لا تخلف الميعاد. فاستجاب لهم ربهم أني لا أضيع عمل عامل منكم من ذكر أو أنثى بعضكم من بعض فالذين هاجروا وأخرجوا من ديارهم وأوذوا في سبيلي وقاتلوا وقتلوا لأكفرن عنهم سيئاتهم ولأدخلنهم جنات تجري من تحتها الأنهار ثوابا من عند الله والله عنده حسن الثواب.
We're starting today inshallah from Surah Ali Imran 185. And we've been going through various subjects in this surah. Today there are going to be again a few subjects discussed. And if you are present in the beginning of the surah, you would remember that the Ahlul Kitab have been mentioned a lot in this book, and the subject again turns to them in the part of the ayat which we've recited today. But first of all, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala discusses a little bit about the criteria of the success in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is the criteria for success? We have many, many kinds of objectives in our lives. Some of us want to be doctors, some want to be engineers, some of us want to be successful in our businesses, some of us want to get our diplomas, some want to get our doctorate. And, you know, all of us have this perception that the thing that I'm striving for, it's going to make me successful. However, this perception is only limited within the scope of our worldly life. And a person, if he really thinks about it, the success that we model ourselves upon, how successful can a person become? It can only be that success is only going to last for 30, 40, 50, at the most 60 years, and then whatever he strives for in this world, it will end. It will end because whatever he strives for, once he passes away, then he will leave it behind and nothing will go with him.
So we have to have a broader vision of what success is. It should not be limited to the scope of our worldly life. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to understand time and again whenever He mentions the stories of the previous nations and the people that came before us. He mentions that many of them had many different criteria and many different visions for success. And all of them, once they neglected Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that they became a failure. They had the same visions that probably we all have, the visions of success financially, having a nice house, having a nice wife, having nice children, and basically making sure that we live a comfortable life. This was the objective of everybody. But once they forgot Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then they became failures. So we look at Fir'aun, for example. He thought that in his kingdom, I am successful to a degree that his riches and his wealth and his pomp and his honor, it became so much for him and a means of his arrogance to a degree that he even claimed to be God. أَنَا رَبُّكُمْ الْأَعْلَى, he said. He was so tyrannous that he even claimed to be God. And he thought that he was successful because of all of these means that were at his disposal. But Qarun, we look at him, and again he was so rich, the mafatih, the keys of his treasures, they had to be carried by strong people. The keys to his treasures. Forget about the treasures themselves, but the keys to his vaults and his where he kept his treasures, that had to be carried by many, many people and animals. That was how rich he was. And he thought that he was successful because of the wealth that he had. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, no. That is not success, because if you forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then these means that are at your disposal, they mean nothing. Success is truly when you please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you obey Him. And you look at the people of Lut, they thought their success was in fulfilling their worldly and sexual desires. You look at the people of Madian, what did they used to do? They used to be traders and businessmen. They thought that their success was in their business. You look at the people of Ad. Ad was sent Hud alayhi salam, and they were very, very physically strong, and they were basically so strong, it's reported about them, they used to be so long and tough that they used to be able to rip up trees and pull the trees out from their roots with their bare hands. And they used to say, "Man ashaddu minna quwwa," who is more powerful and who is more successful than us. And they thought that their success was in their power that they had. Just like many people and many countries, many so-called superpowers, you know, pride themselves nowadays. And the people of Thamud, they were builders. And they were so experienced in building that they used to carve palaces out of rocks. Beautiful palaces out of rocks. And they are still there. The city of Petra in Jordan, if you look at it, this is the people of Thamud and how they used to basically, how they used to carve things out of rocks and carve palaces out of rocks. So we look again and again. Each individual or each people or each tribe or each nation, they had their own limited vision of success. But when that vision of success was not paired with the vision of success of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then those people were destroyed in this world and they'll be unsuccessful in the hereafter. So here in these verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us what is success in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says, "Kullu nafsin dha'iqatul maut." Every soul will taste death. Okay, this is a given and nobody can deny this. It is a thing that will happen and it's undeniable that it will happen. Nobody can deny it. So, from this statement itself, a person needs to have his vision beyond his death. His vision needs to be beyond death, and the vision needs to be
to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَإِنَّمَا تُوَفَّوْنَ أُجُورَكُمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ.
Indeed, you will be given your rewards on the Day of Judgment. You will be completely given your rewards on the Day of Judgment.
فَمَنْ زُحْزِحَ عَنِ النَّارِ وَأُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةِ فَقَدْ فَازِ.
And whoever is saved from the hellfire and he is entered into paradise, then indeed he has become successful. This is the vision of success that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to instill into us. And this is why he sent prophets time and again to all various forms of people to remind them that whatever they're doing, while they're forgetting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that will lead them to failure. Okay, if not in this world, then certainly in the hereafter. Okay, so Allah says that whoever is saved from the hellfire and he is entered into paradise, then indeed he has become successful. So the wording, actually, if you look at the wording, it's very special. The wording is used, فَمَنْ زُحْزِحَ. It's فَلْ مَجْهُول, which means, who is saved from the hellfire? Meaning, he's not basically saving himself, Allah is saving him. Allah is going to save him out of his mercy and out of his fadl, out of his blessing, Allah is going to save him. وَأُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةِ. And he is entered into paradise. He is made to enter paradise. It's not that he did good deeds and because of them he is entering paradise. He is being made to enter paradise. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to start basically dealing with us like on a trade basis, then the blessings that he's given us, the eyes, the hands and everything, you know, if we were to basically just make sajda all of our lives for just one of the blessings he gave us, then it would not be enough. But all of the other blessings he has given us, and yet through a small amount of effort, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will shower us with his mercy on the Day of Judgment, and he will enter us into paradise, which is a success which is eternal and everlasting and never ending. So that is really what success is. Something that never finishes. Not something that never ends. Whereas the concept of success is limited to a person's retirement or until a person dies. That's how much a person is going to benefit from whatever he accumulates.
So, فَمَنْ زُحْزِحَ عَنِ النَّارِ وَأُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةِ فَقَدْ فَازِ.
Whoever is saved from the hellfire and he is entered into paradise, then he indeed has become successful.
وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاعُ الْغُرُورِ.
And the worldly life is nothing but the stuff of foolhardiness. Meaning, a person is fooling himself when he thinks that he is really becoming successful, when at the end of the day he is going to leave everything behind. So this is a trick of the shaitan, that a person thinks I am very successful, I am doing great, and I've got a great job, and yet he is not preparing himself for the real abode, the real life that he is going to be facing.
After that, Allah says, لَتُبْلَوُنَّ فِي أَمْوَالِكُمْ وَأَنفُسِكُمْ.
Most certainly, you are going to be tested in your wealth and in yourselves. So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to test us in both ways. Allah tests us in providing for us and making sure we have a healthy body and everything. This is a test from us, for us, that how do we deal with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when we are in a good situation. And also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests us with difficulties by sometimes making us ill, sometimes making us lose our job, sometimes with the loss of somebody in our family, with a death, and so on and so forth. So in many cases we are being tested, in both cases, whether we are in a good situation or when in a bad situation. And this is in Suratul Fajr, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَمَّا إِذَا مَبْتَلَاهُ فَقَدْرَ عَلَيْهِ رِزْقَهُ فَيَقُولُ رَبِّي أَهَانًا. وَأَمَّا إِذَا مَبْتَلَاهُ فَأَكْرَمَهُ وَنَعَّمَهُ فَيَقُولُ رَبِّي أَكْرَمًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests him and gives him, فَأَكْرَمَهُ وَنَعَّمَهُ فَيَقُولُ رَبِّي أَكْرَمًا.
the normal thing is for a human is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given me. Alhamdulillah. It is a great blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah made me and He gave me honor, He gave me respect. But when, on the other hand, when he is tested, وَأَمَّا إِذَا مَبْتَلَاهُ فَقَدَرَ عَلَيْهِ رِزْقًا, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tightens his rizq, and he says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala disgrace me. My Lord, disgrace me. So, but in both cases, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the word ibtila. Ibtila, either by giving an ikram from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and tan'im from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and ibtila with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala holding back. In both situations, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will test us. So Allah says, لَتُبْلَوُنَّ فِي أَمْوَالِكُمْ وَأَنفُسِكُمْ, most certainly you'll be tested in your wealth and yourselves. And most certainly, وَلَتَسْمَعُنَّ مِنَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ وَمِنَ الَّذِينَ أَشْرَكُوا أَذًا كَثِيرًا, and most certainly you will hear from the people of the book before you and those people who had committed shirk a lot of harm. You will hear a lot of, you know, criticism from these people. You will hear a lot of criticism, and we hear that all the time right now. Islam is always under the spotlight, and people are using verses of the Quran to malign and criticize Islam a lot. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala foretold this would happen. So this is not something that we should not be, it should not be something unexpected. It is happening in front of our eyes right now. But Allah says, وَإِن تَصْبِرُوا وَتَتَّقُوا فَإِنَّ ذَٰلِكَ مِنْ عَزْمِ الْأُمُورِ, and if you are patient and you have taqwa, then this is something, this is from the biggest of situations, or it is something grand that a person is doing, that he is being patient and he is having taqwa in the situation of harm or he is being criticized. He should have patience and he should not run away. And this is what is happening. A lot of people, just because of the pressure that Muslims are under, they basically get into a shell and they want to hide themselves. They don't want to expose themselves as Muslims. They even change their names. They dress differently. And, you know, they don't want to even look like a Muslim. So this is not something what we're supposed to be doing. We should be very proud of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. And we should not hide and basically just become ashamed of the ni'mah of Islam. This is something that we should be proud of. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then goes on to talk about the people of the book. وَإِذْ أَخَذَ اللَّهُ مِيثَاقَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ لَتُبَيِّنُنَّهُ لِلنَّاسِ وَلَا تَكْتُمُونَ, and remember when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took the covenant, the promise of the people that were given the book, that you will explain it to people and you will not hide it. What was that covenant? The covenant was, the promise was in their scriptures that a prophet is going to come to you, and when that prophet comes, you make sure you follow him and you expose him to be the prophet and tell people that this is the prophet that we've been waiting for. But what happened? لَتُبَيُّنُنَّهُ لِنَاسِ, you will explain him to people and you will not hide him. What did they say? فَنَبَذُوهُ وَرَاءَ ظُهُورِهِمْ وَاشْتَرَوْ بِهِ ثَمَنًا قَلِيلًا. What did they do? They threw it behind their backs. They threw that covenant, the promise, behind their backs. They thought nothing of the promise that they had made with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and basically ignored it. So when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came, just because of the fact that he was from the other side of the family tree of Ya'qub alayhi salam, from the Bani Israel, he was from the children of Ismail rather than the children of Israel, which was Ya'qub alayhi salam. So that's why they rejected him. So therefore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَاشْتَرَوْ بِهِ ثَمَنًا قَلِيلًا, they exchanged it for a very small price. What was the price that they paid? Basically, they said, many of them thought, particularly the people in Medina, the Jews in Medina, they had respect amongst the people because they were known as people of the scripture who knew the scripture, and basically they wanted to maintain that respect and maintain that honor. And if they said that this is the prophet, then they would lose all of their positioning that they had, all of their position that they had in society, they would lose it. So they basically did that. Also, according to the Tafasir, they used to
hide the rulings which were in their books and basically take bribes for it. Okay? For example, if a person comes to me and says, Sheikh, is it okay to open a shop which sells alcohol? And I say, no, it's not. Sheikh, you know, here's a bit of a hadiah. Here's a $500 check. Can you change your mind and give me the fatwa especially? And I say, yes, why not? Because we're living in a non-Muslim environment, I think there's a scope and the ability for you to do that if you're selling to non-Muslims only. So this is how they used to do it. They used to take bribes and give fatwa according to the how the person wanted it. So this is what it means. وَاشْتَرَوْ بِهِ ثَمَنًا قَلِيلًا فَبِئْسَ مَا يَشْتَرُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, how bad was the trade that they did. What they did in terms of their selling, it was very, very bad. After that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَا تَحْسَبَنَّ الَّذِينِ يَفْرَحُونَ بِمَا أَتَوْا وَيُحِبُّونَ أَن يُحْمَدُوا بِمَا لَمْ يَفْعَلُوا فَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّهُمْ بِمَفَازَةٍ مِّنَ الْعَذَابِ وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. This verse, it has two opinions and two interpretations. Because in the sequence of ayat, it's talking about the people of the book. Some scholars say it is referring again to the people of the book. Allah says, never think that those people that are happy with what they're giving and or with happy with what they're doing and they love to be praised for that what they did not do. Don't ever think that they're going to save themselves from the punishment, and for them will be a very painful punishment. So some of the Mufassirin say that because in the sequence of ayat is talking about the people of the book, this verse is also about them. Okay, so those people, they used to basically do their deeds and go to the churches and synagogues and do their worship, so they were happy with what they're doing, and on top of that they were happy to be praised for something that they did not do, and that was basically they didn't follow Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or they claim to do good deeds when in fact they're not doing good deeds. They're not following what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam brought. They didn't follow the message of Islam. The other tafsir is that it's a very general verse, and the general wording is about anybody who basically has these qualities that they will be punished by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One thing is that be happy with what you're doing. Basically, be arrogant with what you're doing. Well, I pray 5 times daily. I give my zakat. I am charitable. I do this. I do that. A lot of people do that and have that attitude. And it comes to a degree where I've seen in many masajid that if a person is giving in charity, he expects a place in the board, or he expects a place, you know, a position within the community, and so on and so forth. So this is something very, very important. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that those people that they become happy with what they do, and وَيُحِبُّونَ أَن يُحْمَدُوا, and they are loved to be praised for that which they didn't even do. So one thing is, number one, when a person is doing good deeds, he should not expect to be praised for it. He should do it only for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He should do things with ikhlas and sincerity. Even when he's doing good deeds, it should not be for praise and for showing off. But the worst level than that is that a person is not even doing the good deed and he still expects to be praised for it. There are certain people who do that too. And I'm sure you find those people in your jobs, you know, in your office life. I know there's a lot of politics and backbiting and stuff that happens in your office environment, where there is a person who sucks up to the manager and then basically makes everybody do the work and then goes and thinks and presents it as if he did everything. You know, so this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying. يُحِبُّونَ أَن يُحْمَدُوا بِمَا لَمْ يَفْعَلُوا. They love to be praised for something that they didn't even do. Allah says that don't think that those people are going to be saved from the punishment. For them will be a very painful punishment. وَلِلَّهِ مُلْكُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. And for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the kingdom of the heavens and the earth. وَاللَّهُ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has power over everything. The next verse, it talks about general general, those in general, those people who reflect upon the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the thing is that if we ponder into Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we will not be able to understand Him. This is the thing that we have to understand, that pondering into the that of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is something that is beyond our comprehension. That how is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How big is He? Where is He? And so on and so forth. These things are things which are related to aqidah, but they're not things that we need to delve into so much, because they're, at the end of the day, we will not be able to comprehend them. So Allah encourages us that we should ponder into the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala perfectly created everything. How He created everything so perfectly and in tune with each other, in harmony with each other, something which in this day and age we call the ecological miracle of the, well, they say the nature of nature, but it's not nature. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created everything with such harmony and precision that everything works in sync with each other and basically coordinates with each other. That's why when one group of animals becomes extinct, people become worried. Why? Because it's going to mess up the whole system. The whole system of the food chain and all of that stuff, it gets messed up. That's why people become worried when animals become extinct. That's why they do things about it. So we have to ponder into the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and how perfectly He created it. And once we do that, we'll understand the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says, indeed, in the creation of the heavens and the earth and in the changing of the night and the day are signs for the people of understanding. Okay, so first and foremost, the creation of the heavens and the earth, how perfectly it's been done. How perfect is the world that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave to us. And He gave us the things that we need the most. He gave us oxygen, He gave us water, He gave us plants, He gave us fruits, and everything in abundance. So this creation of the heavens and the earth, and in the changing of the night and the day. And it's not just the night and the day changing, the whole solar system is basically working perfectly and in sync with each other to bring us night and day. You know, this is how it's happening. It's not just night is coming and day is going, day is coming. This is not what it is. The whole solar system is working in harmony with each other, and that's why we get night and day. Okay, so once a person understands that, the planets, they are hanging in orbit because of the perfect gravitational pull of each other. If the gravity of one of them becomes too much, then they will bump into each other. If the gravity of the sun becomes too much, then everything will get sucked into the sun. That's how perfectly balanced Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created everything. And again, وَاخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ, this is what it means. The changing of the night and the day. It's not just that it becomes dark and it becomes light again. No, it is a broader thing. It's much more than that, that we have to understand that the whole solar system is working in sync with each other and in harmony with each other. And when we see this, there are signs for the people of understanding. And the signs are basically that from those signs we understand the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who are the people of understanding? الَّذِينَ يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ قِيَامًا وَقُعُودًا. Those people that remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala standing and sitting, وَعَلَىٰ جُنُوبِهِمْ, and on their sides, meaning while they're lying down. وَيَتَفَكَّرُونَ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ, and they ponder into the creation of the heavens and the earth, and they say, رَبَّنَا مَا خَلَقْتَ هَذَا بَاطِلًا. O our Lord, You didn't create any of this in vain. Everything was created for a purpose. Everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates, it is for a reason and it's for a purpose. You know, the issue of the trees and the rainforest. Why are people so concerned about the rainforest nowadays? They say that the whole atmosphere of the earth is related to the rainforest. If you chop up the rainforest, it's, you know, all the global warming and all the stuff that we talk about, it's related to forests. Forests, jungles, dense jungles. You know, why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala create them? Because there is a reason for it. Person thinks, oh, it's just wild jungle, wild trees, just snakes and scorpions and poisonous stuff inside there. No, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created it for a reason. Even the forests that seem so wild and it seems like there's no reason for them, even those things have been created for a reason. Subhanak. And when a person thinks about everything, He says, Subhanak, O Allah, you're pure from all defects. You've done everything in such perfection, how pure and how perfect must you be? Once we understand that the earth has been created so perfectly, you must be even more perfect than that. Subhanak, O Allah, you are so pure. فَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ So save us from the عذاب, the punishment of the hellfire. رَبَّنَا إِنَّكَ مَنْ تُدْخِلِ النَّارَ فَقَدْ أَخْزَيْتَ So it's not just an issue of saying Subhanallah and just seeing these things around us. A person's whole attitude towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should change, and he should be making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after recognizing him as our creator. And he starts making dua. Oh our Lord, indeed, that person that you enter into the hellfire, indeed you have disgraced him. وَمَا لِلظَّالِمِينَ مِنْ أَنصَارٍ And there is no helper for the wrongdoers. Meaning in the Day of Judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only one who can help us. رَبَّنَا إِنَّنَا سَمِعْنَا مُنَادِيًا يُنَادِي لِلْإِيمَانِ أَنْ آمِنُوا بِرَبِّكُمْ فَآمَنَّا Oh our Lord, indeed, we heard somebody calling us for iman, that you should have iman in your Lord, so we have now iman. A prophet came to us, he gave us the message, and he called to us to become Muslims, to become mu'mins, so we accepted that. Oh our Lord, this action of ours accepted. رَبَّنَا فَغْفِرْ لَنَا And O our Lord, forgive us our sins. وَكَفِّرْ عَنَّا سَيِّئَاتِنَا And make kafara from our sayyat, which means, again, forgive us our sayyat. وَتَوَفَّنَا مَعَ الْأَبْرَارِ And raise us مَعَ الْأَبْرَارِ with the good and the pious people. رَبَّنَا وَآتِنَا مَا وَعَدْتَنَا عَلَى رُسُولِكَ وَلَا تُخْزِنَا يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ And O our Lord, give us what you promised us to your prophets, and don't disgrace us on the Day of Judgment. Indeed, إِنَّكَ لَا تُخْلِفُ الْمِعَادِ Indeed, you do not break your promise. So this is the dua that we're supposed to be making all the time to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that, O Allah, accept us, forgive us our sins, and give us a place in Jannah on the Day of Judgment. After this, Allah says, فَاسْتَجَابَ لَهُمْ رَبُّهُمْ After these people sincerely make the dua, Allah says, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts from them. Their Lord accepts from them. And on the basis of أَنِّي لَا أُضِيعُ عَمَلَ عَامِلٍ مِّنْكُم مِّنْ ذَكَرٍ أَوْ أُنْثَى Whether male or female, I will not waste the deeds of anyone amongst you. We make deeds, we do good deeds, we please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The result of this will be that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be pleased with us. Ultimately, He will enter us into paradise with His rahmah only, but these deeds are something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala appreciates and loves from us, and He will not let those go to waste. بَعْضُكُمْ مِنْ بَعْضٍ Each one of you, none of your deeds will be wasted. فَالَّذِينَ هَاجَرُوا وَأُخْرِجُوا مِنْ دِيَارِهِمْ As for those people who did hijrah, and they were turned out from their houses, وَأُوذُوا فِي سَبِيلِ And they were harmed in my way. وَقَاتَلُوا وَقُتِلُوا And they fought and they were killed. لَأُكَفِّرَنَّ عَنْهُمْ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ Most certainly I will forgive them their sins. And وَلَأُدْخِلَنَّهُمْ جَنَّاتِ And most certainly I will enter them into Jannat, into paradise. تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارِ Underneath there are anhar flowing. ثَوَابًا مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ And this is thawab, this is a reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَاللَّهُ عِنْدَهُ حُسْنُ الثَّوَابِ Most certainly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with him is the best of rewards. So this is the reward for those people whose du'as are accepted and they strive for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The result of this will be that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward them in this way, that ultimately they will be saved from the hellfire and they will be entered into paradise. I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes us from amongst them and gives us the tawfiq to lead our lives, to understand what is true success, and gives us the tawfiq to lead our life in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. SubhanAllah.